This week in the business of bourses and market structure, we're coming to you from Miami Airport, hence the many noises in the background. NASDAQ EEX sparks out, LME plans a Hong Kong warehouse, the SEC courts have been curtailed, and 7 out of the top 10 IPOs chose NYSE in first half 2024, with a fabulous $12 billion raised across all listings. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly podcast, episode 252. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's Daily Subscriber Newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Over in Parish Notes, well, what a great week this is, ladies and gentlemen. Capital Market Revolution is celebrating 25 years. What a week! We celebrated the 25th anniversary of the book in great style. July the 1st was the precise date, but we allowed a T+4 settlement window because we got an incredible offer. The NYSE President Lynn Martin invited us to celebrate the milestone anniversary by ringing the closing bell of the New York Stock Exchange on Friday, July the 5th. It's fun to look back and consider the future of finance, but with a lens back to the book that said more than most about what finance would become back when the linear folks and consultants were all convinced everyone needed to worry about Y2K. And if you don't know what Y2K was, well, that kind of answers its own question. To celebrate the 25th anniversary, staff at EI Mission Control are, as I record this, putting the finishing touches to a sympathetic update to the book, which is going to be published as an ebook imminently. The quarter-century-old core has been frozen in aspic, and the revolution continues with Capital Market Revolution, 25th Anniversary Edition. It's the future of finance reimagined. First published in 1999, Capital Market Revolution offered a clear, concise roadmap for navigating the financial revolution fueled by technology. And 25 years later, as the world of fintech continues to evolve, the core principles laid out in the book remain surprisingly sharp. Over in BitCarnage, fearless words. Binance US is prepared for SEC legal showdown, ran the Cointelegraph headline. After the previous day's news, a judge had given the green light to almost every SEC claim in their case against Binance. Binance may be enthused, however, by a 2nd of July judgment in their favour, where the SEC versus Binance court ruled BNB sales are cryptocurrencies, not securities. A loss for the Howey test there. If you enjoy reading this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day in Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update and happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. In the world, the vast world, the parish of exchanges this week, London Metals Exchange are looking to set up a warehouse in Hong Kong. Exciting news at the same time as the LME has returned to court to battle it out with Elliott Management as they're appealing the Nickel Nightmare ruling where Elliott lost the entire case earlier in the year. Meanwhile, big news from New York. Fabulous first 6 months for IPOs once again, particularly in the USA, which continues to lead the world almost without any opposition whatsoever. The New York Stock Exchange led the industry in global IPO proceeds for the first half of 2024, NYSE welcoming 7 out of 10 of the top largest transactions. That's a terrific fillip, while global IPO proceeds overall of $12 billion is a stunning number by any standard. Great work by Lynn Martin and our fabulous team. Also plaudits to SIX, incidentally, who along with their Spanish BME subsidiary offered a sound European, but not exclusively EU, bounce of IPOs, including the largest IPO in the world in H1, Puig, on BME. Plaudits to Bjorn Sibbern and the SIX Group team. Over at NASDAQ, well, they were second to NYSE, but vastly ahead of the rest of the field. 66 IPOs, 53 operating companies, 13 SPACs, raising a total of $8.7 billion, which is in its own right a stunning number. Once again, we can compare NYSE versus NASDAQ, but the reality is we're watching world-class all-star performances every quarter as two exchanges dominate the world's markets. What a brilliant message, as of course this week we were also celebrating the anniversary of the canniest independence move in world history. There's also a discussion, it was about concentration of volume in the closing auction prompted by XYT data published by the FT. We added our unique tilt to the concept in Exchange Invest during the course of the week. That's our subscriber advantage. Sign up now to access this article and more via exchangeinvest.com. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome wherever you find this podcast. In new markets this week, very exciting, ABAX. Welcome to the parish as an operating market. ABAX Commodity Future Exchange and Clearinghouse had its first trades in liquefied natural gas and carbon credit futures on Friday, June the 28th, 2024, from their base in Singapore. Over in deals, it was a busy week for deals in the parish. All of those deals were, of course, in Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. For the sake of this podcast, let's look at some edited highlights. Well, first of all, the deal is not happening. NASDAQ announced their termination of their previously announced agreement with EEX. So the curve went from Exchange Invest 2689 on June the 20th last year with the announcement that NASDAQ would sell its Scandi Power Biz to EEX. And it ended this week at EI2996 with the deal facing a probe soon after the deal was called off. First up, that leaves NASDAQ with an asset it can either keep and might well do so in the long term too. In terms of bidders, the list strikes me as somewhat short, and that's tricky. Step forward, Stefan Buzhner. If anybody is going to be in a position to buy now, his Parnext can probably just escape monopoly probe. I doubt any of the smaller EU power players have sufficient cash or leverage to buy the asset. At the same time, this on a broader basis raised key questions, as I have noted, about the EU's silly wish cast for a top-down Soviet of central markets, clearly pushed by DB1 to become emperors of Eurobourses. It's an amusing Habsburgian theme, but not one which really works, once it meets the cold reality of money and markets, as I have noted previously. The fact that the EU's antitrust folks won't allow a bigger EEX, after all itself a DB1 subsidiary via Eurex, raises huge issues as to how the silly capital markets Anschluss plan of the European Commission could possibly work out. Other deals, Kazakhstan Stock Exchange, they're set to buy back their stake that's held by Moscow Exchanges after Mad Vlad's self-inflicted iron curtain of sanctions has befallen him. Alina Aldanbergian and the KZ team are making the sensible move to buy back the 13.1% stake in KZ owned by MOEX, which has a book value of $25.9 million. Then we came to a killer deal in the data world. Gosh, it escalated fast, in fact. But just a few weeks ago, we had talk of a £1 billion takeover of Preqin. It actually turned into a £2.5 billion, that's roughly $3.16 billion takeover of the platform BlackRock are going to slot into their Aladdin product. The fun fact here is the British founding couple of Preqin, Mark and Lindy O'Hare, own 80% of the business, which means when the deal completes, their $2.5 billion fortune will be larger than Larry Fink's. The man behind the growth of BlackRock, of course, at circa $1.3 billion. Meanwhile, on our live stream, we had a terrific live stream this week with Danny Corrigan. I recommend you go and look at the repo on the London Reporting House, IPO vid 148. You can find that online at YouTube as well as LinkedIn by looking for IPO-vid. In Finance Book of the Week this week, we're looking over to Chicago at Good Derivatives, a story of financial environmental innovation. It's the story of the creation of the Chicago Climate Exchange and its affiliated bourses. Richard Sandor elegantly demonstrates that market-based trading systems are a far more effective means of reducing pollutants than command and control economics. Richard Sandor was, of course, our guest on IPO Vid. Number 123, where we talk to the father of financial futures. In product news this week, it's bye-bye to LIBOR, murdered by a blob of idiots whose fresh technocratic solution was at best nothing like a step forwards. Delivered this was by ICE as an announcement alongside the UK regulator confirming the LIBOR death sentence cannot be commuted. the same time, EEX and ECC, gosh, all of a sudden they've decided to waive transaction and clearing fees for Nordic power markets for 6 months. That couldn't, of course, have anything to do with their inability to be able to buy the Scandinavian power markets during the course of the past week, could it, ladies and gentlemen? In technology news, the ASX confirmed their plans for staged implementation of CHESS replacement project, confirming it is progressing with delivery of the first phase in 2026. Given ASX confirms as a statement holds about as much credible weight as, say, President Biden debates, we'll keep the idea ASX can roll out any product anywhere, anytime, before we even consider that the vendor is the frequently delayed TCS, in the cabinet, as in cabinet bid or cabinet offered. Does it really matter which? Can anybody believe ASX anymore, particularly when it comes to technology implementation? Bit of a whoops nasty also for Interactive Brokers. They lost $48 million from a technological issue at the New York Stock Exchange when the company promptly had to file a clearly erroneous execution petition with NYSE and certain other US exchanges seeking to bust a series of trades gone wrong. In CareerPaths this week, great excitement surrounds the new QPW, that's the Warsaw Stock Exchange Supervisory Board. The reason is there's a new slate of directors in town, and the great news is the man responsible for refounding the Warsaw Stock Exchange, Wiesław Rozwódzki, is returning to the bourse. Fabulous news all round, and good too to see the ex-GPW and former KDPW staffer, in fact she was the KDPW CSD CEO, Ivona Sroka, added to the supervisory board too. Finally, in CareerPaths this week, S&P Global have announced their leadership succession. Martina L. Chung, the current S&P Global president of S&P Global Ratings, is going to succeed Douglas L. Peterson as the company's president and CEO effective November the 1st, 2024. She's already joined the board as well from July the 1st of this year. Meanwhile, over in Big World, well, we have to say a great word of thanks to the magnificent folks at Pop. And we're not really sure we can say that next word, but it begins with B, ends with an H, and has three letters in between. Anyway, the folks of PopBit, have reported a fascinating data record as part of the incredible Taylor Swift Eras Tour. On Saturday, June the 22nd, Tay-Tay fans at Wembley Arena in London broke the record for most mobile data use at a concert, streaming no less than 5.57 terabytes during the course of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour performance. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this EI Weekly Podcast 252. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com, or if you have an exchange you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our programme, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.